Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stargate Voyager.
I think we're looking again at a lost technology. And it was this ancient apocalypse 12,800 years ago that wiped that from the human memory banks.
Why were these ancient elongated skulled peoples or humanoids of Malta living underground?
Now I believe we're talking prior to 9700 BC for the original construction of the Sphinx.
And they were what some people have called giants, probably no more than 7 to 8 feet tall. And those giants have been pulled out of American mounds.
Whether it's the colossal statue heads that have been unearthed, to all the strange artifacts you've been showing in the museums, to some of the strange features they seem to possess, the more I learn about the Olmec culture, really the more fascinated I become. So did you know that about 20 years ago, a stone was unearthed near the Roswell crash site in Roswell, New Mexico, that features these strange precision-cut symbols on it? Was this part of just some elaborate hoax, or is this an authentic ancient artifact? This is what we're going to discuss in this episode. I'm really excited about what we're going to get into. But first, I want to invite you to join me on one of our 2024 ancient expeditions. Coming up first in May 8th to the 19th, we've got our Egypt tour. This is going to be the adventure of a lifetime. We're going to see 20 plus ancient sites in Egypt, culminating with a private visit inside the Great Pyramid of Giza. This is going to be a life-changing event. You can get $200 off right now by using code EGYPT2024, all caps. So think about joining us in Egypt. If you can't do that, we're going to England, June 30th through July 6th. This is the Mysteries of England tour, where we're going to have a private visit inside Stonehenge. We're literally going to go inside the stone circle. We're going to go crop circle hunting. We are going to explore all the Neolithic chambers and stone circles in the area. So definitely consider that trip. And then August 1st through the 12th, we've got our Peru and Bolivia tour. We're going to see all the major sites like Machu Picchu and Sacsayhuaman. But then we're also going to go into Bolivia. We're going to see Tiwanaku and the precision H blocks there. We are going to see strange elongated skulls. This is going to be a South American trip like none other. You can get $500 off this tour by using code PERU2024, all caps. To get all the information, to see the detailed itinerary, and to lock in your spot, go to StargateVoyager.com/tours to save your spot today. So to properly set the scene in discussing this enigmatic Roswell rock, let me first give a brief history regarding the events of Roswell. And I find it very intriguing how this mysterious rock dovetails ancient megalithic history with that of UFO crashes. So in the annals of American UFO history, few incidents have inspired as much fascination and speculation as the one in Roswell, New Mexico, in the summer of 1947. And now more than 70 years later, this incident remains a defining aspect of American pop culture. I mean, just the town of Roswell, New Mexico itself, it's got a UFO museum and a research center, and it's got a flying saucer-inspired McDonald's. It's got alien-themed streetlights, not to mention the countless movies and TV shows that have a Roswell theme to them. So it's really part of our pop culture. Now, for about the first 30 years or so after the Roswell event happened, almost no one actually knew about it. And this is because of the supposed quick cover-up that ensued by the military. As researcher Richard Dolan points out, it was only because of the hard work of a few people in the 70s and the 80s, like Stanton Friedman, and others who went and tracked down the eyewitnesses who were still alive at the time and captured their memories. And this is how the story was resurrected. And it was the memories of these witnesses that all seemed to tell a very similar story. So again, to set up talking about this Roswell rock, I want to give a brief history of what actually happened at Roswell. So Saturday, July 5th, 1947, Mac Brazel, foreman of the Foster Ranch, located approximately 75 miles north of Roswell, New Mexico, he found this strange debris scattered across a very large area of pasture. And he begins to pick up various pieces of this debris. And he's on record of saying it was unusually lightweight yet strong. And there was what looked like metal and plastic and foil-like material just scattered everywhere. He would later apparently try to cut and even burn some of this debris with no success. The next day, Sunday, July 6th, Brazel brings some of this debris to Roswell Sheriff George Wilcox, and Wilcox sends out two deputies to investigate further this field, this pasture area. And they report back that they found an area that looked like it was burned and glass-like. This seems to lend towards excessive heat. Now, Wilcox then called the Roswell Army Airfield, which was home to the 509 Bombardier Group. And this is the same group that was responsible for dropping the atomic bomb over Japan to end World War II. So this 509 group was the only unit in the world that had the ability to drop nuclear weapons, I believe. And so if you're looking for a unit to do an elite task, this was probably it. And this unit was commanded by a Colonel William Blanchard, who later went on to become a four-star general in the 60s. Now, this Colonel Blanchard sends a team to investigate the site, led by Captain Jesse Marcel, and along with another officer named Sheraton Cabot and Master Sergeant William Rickett. So these three guys meet with the foreman Brazel from the ranch, and they visit the crash site with him the next day on Monday, July 7th. So this debris field was apparently about 3/4 of a mile long and 300 feet wide. And there was a huge gouge in the ground that was about 500 feet long. Remember that, because that might dovetail to this Roswell rock. So this Captain Marcel notices debris as thin as newsprint, he said, but incredibly strong. And apparently the debris, according to him, could not be dented, not even by a sledgehammer. So this corroborates what Mac Brazel had said about it. There was also this foil-like material that could be crumpled up, but would return to its original shape without wrinkles. Marcel also noticed I-beams with odd symbols on them. Years later, Jesse Marcel told investigator Stanton Friedman that this debris was definitely not a plane, a missile, or some weather tracking device. He said, quote, "It was something he had never seen before or since. It certainly wasn't anything built by us," end quote. So this Jesse Marcel loads up his vehicle with debris that night, and on his way back to the base, he makes a detour that night to his own home about 2 a.m., and he wakes up his family, his wife, and his son, Jesse Jr. And Jesse Jr., his son's 11 years old at the time. And he shows them pieces of the debris, and he basically says, "This is from a UFO." And Jesse Jr. would go on to remember this for the rest of his life and write a book about it. Meanwhile, while this is all happening, military police go to Sheriff Wilcox's office, and they collect all the debris that rancher Mac Brazel had originally left there. So now it's Tuesday, July 8th. Jesse Marcel and Cabot go to the Roswell Army base with two truckloads of debris. And base commander Colonel Blanchard notifies Marcel that he is to now take the debris to Air Force headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas, to meet with a General Roger Ramey. So this is several hours away. So at this point, Marcel and Blanchard believe that they have actual pieces of a flying disc. They get to Texas around noon that day. Blanchard says to his public information officer, a guy named Lieutenant Walter Haut send out a press release stating that what has happened and what we have, and how it goes to the local KGFL radio station, where they send it out to the Western Union, all the radio stations, newspapers. The Roswell Daily Record puts a headline story out, quote, RAAF captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell region, end quote. So about 3 hours after this announcement hits the world, Jesse Marcel is in Fort Worth, Texas, in this office of General Roger Ramey with some of the debris. Now, according to Marcel, they both leave the general's office together for a time. And when they come back, the debris has been switched. In place of the original debris he brought is a ripped apart weather balloon scattered all over the floor. There is a photographer there, obviously. They make Jesse Marcel pose with the scraps of the weather balloon and basically take the fall for being fooled. The general brings in an AP reporter who collects these photos and basically writes another story and releases it just 3 hours after the original story stating that there was a UFO crash. So this is apparently the cover story. And then back in New Mexico, rancher Mac Braswell around this time is placed under military guard for several days, apparently, according to the reports. Again, if this was all just a weather balloon, why is the rancher being placed under military guard? Okay, so here's where this Roswell Rock kind of interjects into the story. A local by the name of Robert Ridge unearthed what's known as the Roswell Rock sometime around 2004, so about 20 years ago, while hunting not far from the crash site. Now, if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you're going to see the photos of this. It's a small brownish rock with a design that protrudes from the top of it, featuring circles with what looks like shapes of the sun and crescent moons in the center that are clearly precision cut or carved. And this rock clearly has magnetic properties. In fact, the History Channel, I believe, or it might have been Ancient Aliens, one of them did a feature episode on this very rock for an entire episode. And you can find the video of this somewhere on YouTube, where you can see this rock spinning both clockwise and counterclockwise with the use of a magnet. Again, according to the guy who found it, Robert Ridge, this was found very near the skip site. What do I mean by skip site? There was first the skip site where the craft first made contact with the ground and left that massive debris field. And then it finally came down at the crash site. So you got the skip site first and then the final crash site. So one question that obviously pops up is, could this rock have been possibly thrown from a craft when it hit the ground at this skip site? Did the military miss this rock during their months-long cleanup that ensued? The crazy thing is, if you look at the symbols on this rock, you'll find out that there was a 120-foot-long crop circle found in England in 1996 that featured the exact same design to a T. Now, some have theorized that this is just some elaborate hoax using a sandblasting technique through the use of like a computer-generated stencil where they were cutting and sandblasting. However, when a local stone mason or stone carver was given the chance to replicate this Roswell rock by using this technique of sandblasting and cutting, his recreation was clearly inferior to this rock that Robert Ridge says that he discovered. And again, you can go on YouTube, put in Roswell Rock, and you're going to find the History Channel or the Ancient Alien episode that shows this guy trying to recreate it. Now, this skip site is also known as the Ragsdale site because there was a guy named Jim Ragsdale who was camping there, who claims to have seen the craft come in and was one of the first on the scenes. And he claims that he even saw what looked like bodies laid out. Now, I mentioned a William Rickett earlier. He wasn't only at the crash site with Marcel, but he told researchers later that he escorted someone named Dr. Lincoln LaPaz, or LaPaz, a world-renowned meteor expert at the time, to the crash site. Now, this guy was hired by the military to find out what the speed and trajectory of the craft was. LaPaz also said that the sand had been turned glass-like due to landing and takeoff. LaPaz was on record for saying that he actually believed there were several objects or crafts that had come down at Roswell, not just one. Now, Mac Brazel, the foreman of the ranch, who was one of the first on scene at the crash site, he had a son named Bill Brazel. And Bill said that years after the crash, he was telling some friends at a bar about this foil-like debris that you could crumple up and that would return to its normal shape. He told his friends he still actually had some of it. And guess what? A few days later, of course, the military arrives at the ranch, and they said that they told him that they had learned that he was in possession of some of this material, and that they asked for it and basically intimidated him into handing it over, and basically said, don't ever talk about this again. Now, to wrap this up, Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer named in the initial press report, he had a son, Jesse Jr., who was 11 years old at the time, and he stopped by at home at 2 a.m. and showed him the debris. Now, according to Marcel Jr. in his book called The Roswell Legacy, he states that his father brought some of the UFO wreckage home and allowed him to handle it. And Marcel wrote that the material was metallic and, quote, I could see what looked like writing. At first, I thought of Egyptian hieroglyphs, but there were no animal outlines or figures. They weren't mathematical figures either. They were more like geometric symbols, squares, circles, triangles, pyramids, and the like, end quote. I find that statement by Jesse Jr. Interesting because, again, from his memory when he was 11, he's describing what looked almost like Egyptian hieroglyphs on the wreckage that his father showed him. And again, to me, that kind of dovetails back to this Roswell rock that's got this crescent-shaped moon symbol. And Marcel Jr. is almost describing something similar here, where he's saying there were geometric symbols, squares, circles, triangles, pyramids. So is there a link there? Does this give more credibility to this rock not being a hoax? And then you add to it that it's got magnetic properties and it's precision cut like you would see in Peru in the ancient walls. So what do you think? Do you think the Roswell rock has credibility? Do you think it's an authentic artifact? Is it ancient? Do you think it might have possibly flown out of some craft that crashed in the 1940s in Roswell, New Mexico? Or do you think it's a hoax? If you're listening on Spotify, I've created a poll so you can scroll into the show notes and leave me your comment, your opinion on if you think this is authentic or a hoax. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and until next time, keep exploring.